How does, you know, there's the fivefold ministry that Ephesians 4:11 talks about, right? And you kind of wonder, okay, what do you mean? How do I, you know, why am I involved in this whole, you know, explosion of the kingdom on an individual basis, right? Now, the fivefold ministry, I don't want to knock that, you know, because that is, there is the fivefold ministry in the scripture. But there's something greater in terms of the working out and the manifestation of the kingdom of God, you know, being released upon the earth. The fivefold ministry is there for the equipping of the saints, right? And so God has put like a, and he's putting together, you know, great, I'm kind of careful with my words here, governmental order, as it were, in the kingdom. You know, Randy Clark talks a little bit about that kind of thing with his Voice of the Apostle conferences. And, you know, he's an incredible man, Randy Clark, you know, used by God for this move, you know, that we're experiencing here. And just incredible signs that have followed his ministry. There's a guy that's part of his ministry, if you know, Leif Hetland. Does anyone know Leif? Leif is, he's been used to convert 600,000 Muslims to Christ. I mean, just incredible things. Like, God's using this man incredibly. So there are folks, you know, where the anointing just rests really strongly, and, you know, they're equipping the body of Christ. There's just great leaders that would have that, you know, fall under that apostolic or the fivefold ministry. But there's the little old me, and there's believers like you and I that are called to expand the kingdom. So each and every one of us is called to these works, these great works. One of the heroes of recent heroes, I think, was John Wimber. He really was. And John Wimber was amazing in this. And I think, you know, he's got his reward in heaven now because, you know, up until John Wimber, really, there was the charismatic renewal that started in 1960 with the Anglican Church, with Dennis Bennett. Dennis Bennett, you know, he announced, he's an Anglican minister, he announced in, you know, his church in California there that I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it shocked, it sent a shock wave through the Anglican church. What? And then the whole debate, you know, Pentecostals are kind of on board as well in terms of, what do you mean baptized in the Holy Spirit? You know, it was that whole fullness debate. You get it all when you're saved. And, you know, that whole thing that kind of went through all of Christendom, as it were. And anyhow, later on, even Catholics came into it in 1967, you know, with Patsy Gallagher in Notre Dame there with a bunch of students who were meeting. And then they had this experience of the Holy Spirit falling upon them. And then they were, you know, there was even laughter there just exploded in that meeting. So it started to, you know, filter or go through the, you know, the charismatic movement. And these guys became more Pentecostal. You know, guys in the mainline churches became Pentecostal, as it were. And so that started to happen. And then we saw some great leaders spring out of that. Then John Wimber came around, you know, he was part of the Calvary Chapel movement, you know, with Chuck Smith. Yeah. And if you know any of the history there. And, you know, the Jesus movement in California that was sweeping through there. And they took John Wimber and Lonnie Frisbee. If you want to know a little bit of history, Lonnie Frisbee was quite a character. And then they kind of moved them away from the normal assembly. And then they had afterglow meetings. You know, they didn't know what to... Yeah, a bunch of hippies would show up at their meeting, you know, and they didn't know what to do with them, so they just the Holy Spirit knew what to do with them, and they brought them into these meetings. And John Wimber, who was later, I guess, in some ways, I mean, history repeats itself some ways, was ousted from the Calvary Chapel movement there. And then, you know, with Ken Gullickson and some others, they formed the Vineyard. I mean, that's just a little brief history lesson there, but not all the facts are straight there. But he started to teach that the kingdom of God is in our midst, and it's for all believers. And, you know, if you've ever heard a teaching from guys like, Paul Kane, you know, the end time revival in regards to Joel's army. Like Joel's army, there's this army of incredible, you know, like one will take 1,000, but 2, 10,000, and just going for it. So are we ready, you think? Yeah. Okay, let's try it. But let's forward it, though.
Hey, friends, it's my pleasure to share with you today.
And maybe not. Or you're forwarding it.
Hey, friends, it's my pleasure to share with you today. And this is Vision Sunday. And at every single one of our campuses today, we're going to be talking about what our pastors and our leaders are feeling, what the Lord is speaking to us for 2012. And it's very,
okay,
very interesting. A lot of the prophetic
it's
people
working, right?
are
Can
saying
we
that
move
2012
it
is a year that is still to be determined what God is wanting to do. It's almost like it's a year in the balance. And the destiny of Canada,
Sandra,
of,
could you forward it?
North America, really of the world,
leave it? Okay,
is
leave
still
it.
To be determined. And so it's very interesting, just a number of those different kind of things. For example, I know you've probably seen the movie 2012, just sort of the end of the world, and the Mayan calendar finishes at 2012, and it sort of almost plays into that is that the destinies that we have in terms of where God's taking us, we just don't know what they're going to be. Well, we have some good news. Our pastors met in October, and we were talking about what is going to be our theme, and so we had a wonderful day just to hear from each other, to listen to the number of prophetic words that have been spoken by many of you that our pastors have received and have kept track of. We went through a number of scripture passages trying to determine what we felt our theme for this year is going to be. And in just a moment, I'm going to share that with you. But before I do that, I'd like to just recap just a real quick thing about what we did last year. So 2011, our vision was Love Our City. The first big one and probably the biggest event we did was Kids Fest in February on Family Day. And there was 20,000 people showed up at that event. And we were the title sponsors and we were able to help. We gave away 6,000 boxes of chocolates, chocolate turtles, courtesy of Nestle. We had some number of other companies sponsoring with us. It was great. We were able to minister to all sorts of people. We had healing booths and prophetic readings and all those kind of things. We also have had Love Our City events with the Salvation Army, with a ministry called White Rose, with a pregnancy center, with Followers Mission. We have done free taxes at our Mississauga campus. We have done lots of little community events where people have done street barbecues and street parties. We have had some amazing, amazing activities where people have just taken the opportunity, either as an individual or in their cell group, to get involved and to love our city. So for everyone who is helping, thank you so much. So because Love Our City was so successful, we are not stopping it. It's not going to be our theme for 2012, but Love Our City is going to continue, and you're still going to be hearing that brand name, as it were. So the first big thing that's coming up again in February is another Kids Fest. And this year, because they loved us so much in terms of what we contributed and how many volunteers and just all the great stuff that we did, they've asked us to be even more involved this year. And they've asked us to do a Sunday morning meeting at Kids Fest, which is outstanding to have a secular organization ask us to be involved at that level. And so in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be sharing with you some of the opportunities that are going to be coming that way. So God bless you all. So let me tell you about our 2012 theme. As I mentioned, our pastors got together in October, and after a whole bunch of options and a whole bunch of scripture verses and a whole bunch of prophetic words that we were thinking about, we really felt that the primary thing that we want to focus this year is pushing into the presence of God. And as we looked at a number of different scriptures, for example, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which says to seek first his kingdom, and that seems to be one of the priorities that the scriptures are talking about, especially in the New Testament. And then we looked at things like Psalm 27, verse 4, which talks about one thing, and that's to seek his presence and to be pushing in deeper into the presence of God. And so our theme this year is this: expanding your kingdom by pursuing your presence. And the focus is going to be on the pursuing your presence. We had a big discussion as to whether we were going to say expanding his kingdom or expanding your kingdom. And we decided that we wanted to have the word your because we want to personalize it. So it's not just that this is what we as a ministry are going to be doing, but this is what we would like every person to be doing as well. So we are known all around the world as a place where the presence of God is. And so people continue to come to our conferences. People continue to visit our church. And one of the things that they look forward to is just coming into an atmosphere of the presence of God. Can I encourage you that this is something that is good, but it can get better? You can always go a little bit deeper into the presence of God. So there are three very practical things that we're going to be asking every person in our church to do. So these are your part. Number one, we would like everyone to get a buzzer or to get a phone app for your smartphone that is going to remind you every 10 minutes to worship the Lord and to focus on Him. And so there's a number of different phone apps. You can get just timer apps, and there's also one that's called Worship 10M. That is 99 cents, and it's, I don't know who did it, but it's a Christian organization, and it actually links to Carol Arnott's Facebook account about pushing into God. So that's number one, is to get a buzzer, get a beeper, get a timer, do something that allows you for every 10 minutes to focus on the Lord. Number two, we would like you to at least one time a month come to a group event to push into the presence of God. And so the easiest way for you to do that would be to come to one of the House of Prayer gatherings. So right now we're offering Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Friday mornings from 10 until noon, and Tuesdays and Thursday evenings from 7 until 9. And Patricia Bootsman has done an amazing job. There are some great worship leaders, intercessors that are involved in leading these meetings, and it has been amazing. I've sat in on many of them and just sat there and just being in the presence of God. I participated in praying, and we've seen many of you that have been there as well. So can I encourage you to consider doing that once a month? Also, at some point this year, we're going to start streaming those meetings. Don't know exactly when that's going to start, but we're hoping to make it easier for you to be able to just be in God's presence. So that could be at your workplace, that could be at your home, wherever you are, that you're going to be able to go on our Catch the Fire website, Catch the Fire TV website, and to be able to link in. We're also planning to have some special weekends. We're hoping to have the Riveras back for us. They are amazing soaking people. We're hoping to have Joshua Mills come this year. People like James Gull, prophet, Bobby Connor, prophet, to be able to help us just to facilitate going deeper into the presence of God and connecting with God. So we're hoping to have those kind of meetings. And again, we'd like to encourage you, have your personal time of soaking and things like that, but come to a group meeting once a month. Number three, the third thing we'd like you to do is to be involved in personal sort of pushing in for yourself apart from the buzzer. For example, plan a soaking time every week. Plan a time to read some books that are going to take you into the presence of God. Our resource center is going to be having a number of specials. They're going to be having a number of preferred books that you can read that are going to help you to personally get into the presence of God, to go deeper, to get to know your daddy in heaven just a little bit better. And so, again, we're looking to have every person do something. And as every individual does something, it's going to help us as a corporate organization, corporate community, corporate family, to go just a little bit deeper into the presence of God. We have a number of people in our church that have already chosen to push into the presence of God as a lifestyle. And I'd like you to hear their story right now.
My name is Ian McDermott. I'm one of the interns in the House of Prayer. Since I've been here, I've been spending about 10 hours in the House of Prayer each week, either involved in the worship teams or running sound or just participating, just one of the attendants, just being there. And I've really found, I've learned a lot more about the presence of God and just how to recognize how he works and how he moves and how he speaks to us on a daily basis. And that's impacted my day-to-day life from just being with other people, but also recognizing God working in other people's lives and hearing his voice and how I can then speak to other people. Something we're starting to realize in the House of Prayer is we're starting to cover the same topics again and again and again, and there's only so much you can say about the same topic for 2 hours or 10 hours or however long. But we're starting to realize the more we're pressing into things, the more we're starting to have a heart for those issues, the more we're starting to see a difference in the way that we look at situations around the world. So it's impacted us personally as well as just sort of our own prayer life. It's not easy, and it's never going to be easy. I think that's a personal choice you have to make. No one can force you to worship. It's a choice you have to make yourself. But in making that choice, I think it's something that God really honours, and there is a reward. You may not necessarily see it then and there in the moment, but in the long run, it makes a massive impact in your life. For me, I've started to recognise a lot more of God's work in my life and life of other people around me. find it easier. I think the more time you spend in any area, so if you focus on a musician, for example, for any period of time, you start to recognize their work much more, and you notice something that's not of them. So something I've started to be aware of, spending more time with God, I'm starting to see areas of my life that isn't God's will, and it's helping me to come into more focus and see clearly his purpose for my life. Continue praying, read the Bible, make time for God. That's a big area I've noticed in my life, making time every morning to start the day in prayer and reading the Bible, because that then carries on throughout the day and you start to recognize something God may have spoken to in the morning, which you can then pick up on throughout the day. So that'll be a big tip, is make time for God. By pursuing God's presence, I found that I can recognize more of God's work in my life and in the life of others around me.
My name is Lisa, and right now I'm at the Catch a Fire Scarborough campus, which is pastored by Remission Elsie, and that's like east of Toronto. I've been going there since October last year, so just over a year now. And when you and I were talking about his presence, when we first talked about it, one of the things that like a snapshot was in my head was you can't experience his presence alone. It has to be experienced in a community with other people, because that's how you really get glimpses of all the different little parts of God. There's nothing else worth pursuing. I've been in that place where you feel like, I want to get this right first, and then I'll have time for God. The truth is, making time for God makes time for everything else. It is central to your being. It's like the core of who you are is who he is. And it doesn't take away from anything you're doing. It doesn't take away from anything you want to do. It only just adds. So I would fully encourage them to make that first. Like, you know, there were times when I was at home and I had the full day to praise him and to worship him. Now I'm working and I don't have that full time. But I get glimpses of those moments. I remember moments, and that takes me through the day. So, yeah, it's definitely worth pursuing at all costs. I can't really ever say I regret it. I wish that I had made it sooner. I wish that I had been able to have someone express to me the fact that he's not a crisis God. He's an everyday, every moment, concerned with everything about me, God, that he will lay everything down just to have 5 minutes with me, whether I have words to say or worship. Like, you know, when you think about the soaking, I'm a worshiper. I like to jump up and down. I like to express myself. The concept of just lying there and taking him in, that blows my mind, and that shows me how concerned he is. I'm not doing anything. I'm not making any motions. And he's choosing to be right there. That's the God that I'm pursuing. That's the God that I would encourage everyone to pursue, who's always right there, no matter what.
All my life has been, God, I want your presence. Lord, I must have you. You are the pearl of great price. You know, it's just been amazing because God has been calling me, and we've been in ministry, going, traveling, jet lag, and so on. And so it's hard when you're traveling to really have that alone time to seek him, to really, you know, be in his presence as much as I want to be. And so I think that. You know, God was trying to, you know, call me. Come on, Carol, you need to give up some other things and come more with me. So he gave me a young man that came up to me, and he said, Carol, I want to give you these pearls. Now, I've already had a set of pearls, so, I mean, you can only wear so many pearls. So anyway, I said, well, I don't really need them. Thank you very much. And he said, God told me, I'm giving them to you. You do with them what you like. Well, I had a dream right after that where God said, I gave you those pearls. They're three strands. And I gave them to you to remind you of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He said, but I want you to notice how they're held together. And they're held together with a big clasp of pearl. And then in the dream, he said, Carol, sell all and buy the pearl of great price. So as I spent time with him, he said, Carol, I want you to sell me your time. He said, your time is the most valuable thing that you own. We're talking about, you know, the biggest challenges that I had when I started doing the 10 minutes. I mean, it was just so wonderful when the presence of God came that really encouraged me. And I thought, wow, Lord, this is my heart. I'm a worshiper. I love this. And yet, you know, you live ordinary lives and you're in the bank or the shopping mall or you're speaking or you're, you know, at a desk doing computer work. How do you do that? You know, that was one of the things. And the Lord just said, just if you can't worship me like this, just worship me for a couple of seconds even. Just acknowledge and worship me. Just take 2 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever, and just acknowledge and worship. Just say, Lord, I think you're the best Father in the whole world. I love you. And continue back on doing, you know, your typing or whatever. So when I can, I worship full out. When I can't, I just do it in the back of my head. Because we can chew gum and talk, you know. So we can do 2 things. We're pretty good at multitasking, actually. And so I haven't found it a struggle because of his presence. I think the biggest thing for me in doing this for almost, well, it's a year now. It's actually a whole year, is his presence. Oh, that is absolutely the most incredible. That's my heart's desire, that I would walk, be filled constantly, whether I'm on an airplane, whether I'm in the shopping mall, whether I'm speaking, his presence residing. Because you see, when we have him, we have everything else. I mean, I do not regret any of the time. I mean, it's been a wonderful thing. I mean, there's days when, you know, the worship is absolutely glorifying and, you know, lifting. There's other days where you're really busy and it's an obedience thing. You know, it's not quite so intimate and whatever. Or parts of the day might be like that. But on the whole, I mean, he's looking for obedience. He wants our hearts. Will we follow through? Will we be worshipers? That's what we're going to do in heaven. Worship him. So we better learn how to down here. And have I arrived? No. But it's sure fun on the process. The Father is looking all over the earth for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And I want to put out a challenge to all of you. Try it for a month. See the difference that happens. You will be absolutely amazed. His presence will come and your life will totally change.
Those were amazing stories, but guess what? You have a story as well, and we'd like to hear your story. So here's what I'd like you to do. As you push into the presence of God, as you get revelation, as God begins to speak to you about different things, can I get you to do 3 things? Number one, tell your cell leader and share at your cell group what God's been doing. Number two, tell your pastor. Very good chance that they're going to have you share at your campus meeting on a Sunday morning. And when you share your story, you're going to be inspiring other people. And number three, tell us. Send an email to mail@catchthefire.com. We have a brand new Revival magazine, and it's revivalmag.com. And we want you to go there. We want you to be able to look at other people's stories. And it may be that you'll see your own story on there as well. So let us know what God has been doing in your life. Can I just encourage you, again, that as every one of us pushes into God's presence, some amazing things are going to happen. The kingdom of God will be expanded. So I have no idea exactly what that's going to look like. I'm presuming that that's going to mean that other people are going to be becoming followers of Jesus. My guess is that you're going to see the kingdom of God happening. And the primary three things in the kingdom of God that seem to happen are that healing comes in people's lives. Financial blessings come in people's lives. Good relationships come into people's lives. Those are the three primary things that Jesus talked about. He said, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came to give life. And so as we push into God, I'm expecting those kind of life-giving things to come to us as an organization, to a church, to us as a church, but also to you as an individual. Well, I just want to thank you so much for all of you who have been part of Love Our City this last year. And this is going to be a little bit different push this year. It's going to be a push up. Last year we were pushing out. This year we're pushing up. And I know that as we do that God's going to be pleased. Let me just pray for you. Father, thank you so much for every single person who's a part of Catch the Fire. Father, thank you for the amazing ministry that we have all around the greater Toronto area and the cities around the city of Toronto. Father, thank you that you have been expanding our ministry. And one of the reasons, Daddy, that you've done that is because we've been seeking you. We've been putting you first. So, Father, as we continue to do that and as we tell you as a group that this is, Father, this is what we want to do. We want to push into you. And, Daddy, as we do that, would you be the rewarder of those who do good? Would you be ministering back into our lives? Would you be bringing us great health in 2012? Father, would you be financially blessing us in 2012? And Father, may you be doing great things in our relationships with our family, with our friends, in our places of work during 2012. Father, thank you that you're promised to always be with us. And Daddy, help us to always be with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, church.
God bless. Well, let's all stand, shall we? Okay. Candace, Sasha, can join me here. These are our two interns. I've asked them to just be with us. I asked them to just pursue his presence a little bit and to see if the Lord would give them any words for us this morning, words of knowledge. And we want to seek his presence right now. I know some of the technical stuff kind of distracted us, and I was going to share a little bit on the kingdom, but we're going to just move on. Father, I know that you're going to release some incredible things, Father. So we're going to ask right now, Lord, as we pursue your presence. We've been pursuing your presence for quite some time now. And that's enough. Just your presence is enough, Lord. But I'm feeling that you want to release some stuff in our midst. And